Hello and welcome to the All Time Gaming Podcast. Yes, that's right, podcast. It's been a long time coming, guys.
It has.
Certainly has. Yeah. Far too long.
Yeah, so I'm here with my main man, Jim Jams, Jamie.
How's it going, Chris?
And conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.
Hello.
Hello.
Why did you take such a deep breath to just say one word?
Yeah, why are you so depressed? You wanted this podcast.
I was considering doing an American accent and sounding like my namesake.
You have to now.
I can't remember the name of my children because I had a big bowl of chili for lunch.
And just like that, we've been taken off iTunes.
Yes, yeah, thanks. All right, guys, so podcast, gaming channel.
Hell yeah.
If you're listening to this on a podcast platform of your choice, it is also available on YouTube if you want to see our beautiful faces. But you don't want to do that, so just give us a 5-star rating or something.
Not missing much. I'll fill in the blanks. Yeah? We've got a black hoodie, a grey hoodie, a red t-shirt, 2 pairs of glasses.
Yeah. Couple of cans of Monster.
Far too much hair gel.
Yeah. Hey.
Some greased up heads.
All right, guys.
My hair's not greasy. It's...
So listen.
Well.
Your greasy hair. All right. Let's figure out what we're going to do with this podcast, all right? Obviously, we're a gaming channel, so we'll talk about games. Imagine that. But I figured we'd start off maybe with talking about, like, what kind of games we've been playing in the past week.
Ooh.
Or so, or seeing that's our first one. It doesn't have to be the past week. But, yeah. So, Jamie,
I've got a feeling we're going to be talking about this a lot today because I've been trying for the past week to play Red Dead Online where possible.
Oh, okay.
And so far, it's been pretty friendly. The game has, at least. Only crashed a handful of times. One night, I had an absolute nightmare. Just kept falling through the map, and it crashed about 3 times in 45 minutes. But for the most part, it's been stable, and I've been in.
Okay. Well, it isn't
nice.
It isn't beta, right? So... fair enough.
Yeah, but I'm starting to feel like it's basically a finished product, that they slap the word beta on it in the last minute and they say no one can say fucking anything if we call this a beta. It's the Wild West, literally.
Did feel a bit like that, given the fact that they were like, oh, it's not going to stop service, it's just going to carry on. Yeah. You're like, oh.
All your progress will carry over.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And we won't shut it down and the servers are the same. It's like, you've slapped a sticker on this to cover yourselves if everything plays.
They know what they're doing. But okay, let's leave Red Dead aside for a moment, because
sure.
I want to get back to that in a meteor context later on in the podcast, all right? But what other games? You picked up Pokemon, didn't you?
I did pick up Pokemon. That's hard to say. Pick up Pokemon.
Pick a Pokemon.
10 times fast, Jonesy.
No.
Pick a Pokemon. Can't bother it anymore.
Yeah, see.
I got to like 3.
Not up to snuff. All right. I went for Let's Go Pikachu because Eevee...
can go fuck himself,
is it
right?
A cat? Is it a dog? Who cares?
Make a choice.
I get told by like Poke fans that Pikachu's rubbish, but I like Pikachu.
Is it just saturation though, right? Like, it's too much Pikachu.
It's a little bit of that, but it's also that in a world in which you're establishing these creatures that evolve into cooler things, like Charmander is a bit of a gimp. Let's be real. Like, no one likes looking at a Charmander. He's got these weird little claws. All he can do is scratch an ember.
Is it Charizard? Is what Charmander becomes?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Charmander grows up. The fucking glow up of 2019. Charizard gets wings, can fly, gets flamethrower.
No,
forget about Ember.
Surely it's got to be Magikarp.
Magikarp is another glut. But what I'm saying is Pikachu doesn't do anything.
Raichu becomes a Raichu.
Raichu's cool, but all it does is get a tail and put a bit of fake tan on.
Oh no, what Roche was teaching us about this is this blackfish.
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 It's the hot new... that's what I've been doing the last week,
Raichu's a blackfish.
All right, hold on. Jonesy, for people listening, what is blackfishing?
So blackfishing is apparently where white girls... tan themselves up, get like boob implants and bum implants, and then get some braids, and then go on the internet and go, I'm black. and they're not, which is great because you can see the before and afters. And I spent half an hour this morning with Roche showing me pictures of white girls who are now not.
Wow.
I've never heard of it.
Guys, I have a confession to make.
Go on.
I'm not actually, I'm not a white person.
I didn't think you were.
No. You're I mean, we've known you're African for a while, but.
How African?
That's the question.
Huh.
You need to go on one of those DNA shows. How African are you? It's the new smash hit from Channel 5. I've been working on my blackfishing for years now.
Yeah?
It's the only reason I've been putting on loads of weight. Lots of people think it's for a role. I'm not a professional actor yet. One day.
Okay.
It's actually so I can blackfish one day. Hmm. Here's what you do. You put on loads of weight.
Yeah.
Then you lose it in specific parts.
So you're going to be a lovely, curvaceous
black woman. I'm coming in on Monday wearing a corset. Well, my hips are going to be as thin as they can be.
Well,
I'm going to have a massive bum.
This is getting weird.
Let's get
back to the games, right?
Back to the games.
So
Raichu's been blackfishing.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take us on a tangent.
All right, but Jonesy, you want to hear the mental thing, right? So Jamie got Let's Go Pikachu, when was it, like last week? Thursday?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. He's already saying, oh yeah, I wanted to go to the video game store and buy another game. On a whimsy.
What? Is this because you finished it or because you're bored with it? Or
no, he's just a madman.
Look, I was trying to explain this to Chris, that sometimes on a Friday, when you're a bit depressed, you want to spend money you don't have on a video game.
I'm there.
We can all relate to that. You walk past a game store on a Friday, you have like £3 to your names. You need it all for food, but you think, but what if I just spent money I don't have on a game that I'm not going to like that much? What if I walk into the store and buy Just Cause 4, regardless of what everyone's saying about Just Cause 4? That's the way my mind works.
See, I think for me it's kind of a hard leap, right? Because if you had to say something about like PSN store or Steam, I totally get that, because that's like you click a button and you're there.
Too easy.
But what you are saying is, get outside and go to a store. Ugh.
I know. I get what Jamie means, because it's the act when you walk past.
It's gross.
Or when you're nearby. And I do this slightly worse than Jamie, because I did this recently.
Here we go.
Okay?
Here we go.
I'll walk past the store.
A B&Q.
A B&Q. I'll walk past.
It's a hardware store for any northern UK viewers.
DIY
shit.
I'll walk past a computer game store and I will go and buy a game that's been out for 2 years. Even though I've already got a game that I'm currently playing. I did this the other day because Jamie showed me that game had Nier Automata for $19.99. I was like, really? So I went immediately online and bought it. I said, I don't need that at the moment.
This is what I love, is what happens, right? On the channel, we go through kind of like phases, right? And currently it seems like we're giving a lot of love to Nier Automata. Right?
We covered it so much and I hadn't played it and I felt like I was missing out. So I went and bought it.
But at the same time, you do, working with Jonesy is like, you're coming on a Monday and you're like, how's your weekend, Jonesy? He's like, yeah, it was all right. And he's like, what'd you do? Well, I rebuilt my conservatory and I started playing Cameo. the Xbox 360 launch game, Cameo. He goes, yeah, you know, I just thought I'd play it.
Just wanted to try it.
Really. And he goes, what'd you think? And you go, oh, it's shit.
Yeah, hold on. Jonesy, how far are you in Assassin's Creed Odyssey?
Odyssey, nowhere.
Nowhere. And is that because...
I haven't got it.
Is that because you're still playing Origins?
I am trying to play Origins.
We got sent a copy from Ubisoft. One copy.
I haven't
tried. You've had it at your house for over a year.
I played it for about 10 hours, 15 hours.
10 hours?
And then I was like, do you know what? I need to move on with my life.
Oh my!
So I went on to something else.
So why haven't you brought it back to the office? So someone else can play.
Oh. I just keep forgetting. To be fair, I'm not going to play it now either.
All right, there you go. Okay. So what games? So you got Nier Automata.
I haven't played that yet.
You haven't played it. So yeah, because you picked it up today. So
yeah, but the last week I've gone kind of mad because I bought a Switch, as you guys well know.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Black Friday, got a Switch. So I've been trying to catch up with some of the games of the year from last year.
Hell yeah!
So you guys were raving about Mario and Breath of the Wild.
Yes, yeah, so I think Mario was. Jamie was your. I think so. Game of the year?
Yeah. As in like...
Don't backtrack now.
Hey, yeah. Hey, see, this is how it unfolds, right?
But to be fair, you couldn't pick Breath of the Wild.
Exactly. I couldn't pick Breath of the Wild. That probably was my game of the year.
Nah, you know why? Because
I chose cool with Horizon, and I just picked Mario, okay? Yeah. And I will defend Mario against the naysayers.
So I've been playing some Mario. I played that today, actually, on the train, on the way here.
You didn't like it initially, so
I'm enjoying the game mostly, right?
You were like mad, man, because you said you were bored in one of the boss
fights. You know what? He's trying to avoid an argument.
Yeah.
He knows I've worked on a few, few comebacks.
Do you know what? I'm sitting down. I was playing Mario. I've been playing it for about like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I think I got to like my fourth stage. I did another boss battle, and I got to the boss battle, and I knew what I was going to have to do. I knew exactly how I was going to go
down. Yeah, sure, it's a Mario game. You jump on his head 3 times and it's dead.
This was the one where you go in. It's not. So this was different. Okay. This is where you jump in the onion and you grow and you're tall and you like bash it from underneath.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was a different. Well, I think it was an
with
onion.
With a UFO or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like a UFO sucking up flowers, right? So I was going
around. Is it a UFO that sucks up flowers, or is it an onion that you jump in?
No, you become the onion. You put your hat on the little onion thing, and remember, it's got those legs.
And you grow.
That grow up.
And you smash it.
Are they onions?
Yeah.
Sure,
things with long legs.
What did you think they were?
Onions don't have legs.
Well.
No, it's like vines rather than legs.
Yeah.
It's like a vine comes out.
Hmm.
Which doesn't make sense anyway.
Let's not get stuck on the logic.
Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
So I was playing that, and it's a completely different boss battle, right?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, okay, a different style of boss battle. This I'm going to really enjoy this.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it feels the same again.
Yeah.
I was kind of bored whilst playing it.
It can get kind of samey, but you know what? Like, thing about Mario games is it's not even like gaming's guilty pleasure. It's just gaming's pleasure is what it is. It's just like you cannot play that game and not slap a big smile on your face.
Jamie made a good point earlier, which was that despite my reservations, right, because I'm still playing it, I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah.
But it is perfect platforming. It looks great. Loads of stuff about it I really love, and a couple of little things here and there. Yeah. I'm not going to stop me from playing. I'm still going to finish the game.
Good, I'm still collecting
those moons.
But you've also been playing my game of last year, which was
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild.
How good is that?
It is.
Loving it.
It is insane how good it is.
Loving it. Playing it on the train though, with the motion sensor.
Oh no! Don't do that.
And you're trying to shoot, and it just keeps making me like lean. The arrows go off slightly, and I'm like, this is really
annoying. Turn all that stuff off.
Yeah.
Like when you first play Splatoon 2, and it's like, oh yeah, you want to play the shooter with motion controls? No. Get off. I may be lying in bed. I could sit up and use the motion controls.
But I'm not getting it.
But I'm not. I'm going to lie back in bed and hold the Switch above my head until all the blood runs out of my arms and I get pins and needles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other one is RDR2, of course. I've been playing that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Well,
Before we move on, Chris, I feel like I have to ask you, although I may set a timer. This might be the inaugural, like, Dota Minute or whatever we're going to call it. I feel like I have to ask you about Artifact. Because that is a new game that you have played and can talk about.
So games that I've been playing this week is obviously, Dota. That's fine. I'm not going to bore you guys with it.
Thank you.
So Artifact has come out, and it's basically Valve's kind of gunning for Blizzard's Hearthstone, right? So card game based on one of the existing properties. So in Blizzard's case, it was World of Warcraft. And in this case, it's Dota. Surprise, surprise. But it's pretty well fleshed out. It's designed by the guy who created Magic the Gathering.
Ooh.
Richard Garfield, if I'm
Which is now being baited as a video game.
Yes, exactly. They've released an online version of that as well. But it's really interesting. It's really complex, but at the same time kind of relatively easy to get into. It's one of those, like, easy to get into, hard to master, which is almost like...
Like snowboarding. No, like skiing.
Like skiing.
Wrong way around.
Like both of them. I did it once.
Now, skiing's easy to get into, hard to master. Snowboarding's hard to get into and good to master.
I don't do any of them because you've got to be in cold weather for it, and I don't like cold weather. So there
I
you
went
go.
Skiing once and I learned how to snowplow. Did it the whole week. Earned most improved beginner and got a hat, baseball cap. Yep. I also got bullied a lot that week.
I wonder why.
Someone started a rumor that I had a plain waffle.
just the waffle with like
nothing
on it.
What does that mean? As in, like, I went for breakfast and I took a waffle and didn't put anything on it.
Oh.
And everyone started going, oh, you ate a plain waffle.
Even if you had, what's wrong with that?
You'd have to ask George Capon. He started the room.
George Capon.
The most frustrating thing is not that there's anything wrong with eating a plain waffle. I didn't eat a plain waffle.
Well.
I'd, at a bare minimum, put some sugar on it. Or
you
maple
idiot.
Syrup.
You ate a plain waffle.
You know what? I'm not even that mad about a sweet breakfast. One time I went to California and they had fried chicken at the breakfast buffet.
Oh, now we're talking.
And I thought I could get used to this.
Yesterday we had chicken and waffles with maple syrup. It was nice.
Oh,
but back to Artifact.
Sorry, yes. I got distracted by chicken. Not for the first time.
It's really good. And look, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a card game that you play online and they've got some pre-constructed stuff, blah, blah, blah. It's fine. It's fun. It's entertaining. If you like card games, you probably like it. You don't really have to know Dota in order to get into it.
Right.
But it does add that other layer if you do. There's not much really more to say about that, but what is interesting about it is the...
At least there's something.
Well, it's the first game that Valve have released in, what, like 6 years or something?
Since Dota 2, right? Game.
So Dota 2, yeah. I think, came out... Well, I started playing Dota 2 in about 2012.
I think that was the year, right?
No, there was before that, but I can't remember if it was 2011 or 2010. No. Yeah, so the first international was in 2010.
Yeah. It's quite a stable of card games now. So this is...
Yeah, so you got like Gwent, you got Hearthstone, you got this, I don't know, Elder Scrolls Legends. So
it's becoming a genre in its own right, isn't it? Yeah.
But it's one of those genres that, for me at least, they all kind of blur together.
Yeah, they do kind of. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and defend card games. Like,
I've had some fun playing them.
If you want to get into it, get into it, sure. But it's nothing...
But they should be, because you think about who's making these card games so far.
Yeah.
It's some of the people who make some of the most engaging and popular
Blizzard,
universes.
CD Projekt Red.
Exactly.
I'm just waiting for that Rockstar.
If they didn't all, I'd play that. But if they didn't all look the same.
Bully 2 is going to be a card game.
Oh, can you imagine? Any way they can make money, I guess. Selling packs, it's the future.
Yeah.
Well, they're all blending together, aren't they? Because a lot of games now have cards in them.
Exactly. Yeah. I played 30 seconds of Hearthstone and said, you know what, I've got my fill. I don't need to play the rest of these. Yeah. Put something down, they mash together, some special effects happen.
Yeah.
Someone's got more cards than someone else. There's manner.
There's a winner and a loser.
Right, manner, okay. What a dumb word.
Look, I think we've kind of spoken about as much of our card games as we can do. So I'm just going to move it on to the next section, shall we?
Excuse me, yawn.
After a big yawn from Alex Jones and a big sniff from Roisin behind the camera. Shout out, Roisin.
Doing cocaine.
Really pumped up for this, aren't they, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I gave you guys some homework before we came into this podcast. And
did
it.
You?
I did.
My dog ate it.
Oh, a classic dad joke from Alex Jones over there. So I've asked you guys to go out and find some gaming-related news stories that we could discuss.
Yes.
All right, so Jamie.
Yes.
Let's start off with you, right? What have you got?
I came today, Chris, because I'd like to talk about the PlayStation
Classic. You came today?
I come every day in one way or another.
Well, there we go.
Bit too much information, but there you go. You probably could have guessed. I mean, look at me.
Just once, though, every day?
Well, you know, every now and then you want to push the boat out a little bit, but then you don't want to push it too far because it gets a bit uncomfortable.
You feel a bit weird.
Yeah. It's like, hang on a second, this doesn't feel right. There's not much coming out anymore. So every now and then your body gives you signs and you think, you know what, I'm going to listen to my body on this one
Do this. Hey, let's go into that.
And if it's not the signs, it's the train guard.
Oh.
Stop that. You're on public transport.
The train guard is on
Nah,
right.
You don't do it on the train.
All right, news item, let's go.
Do it on the bus.
Come on.
PlayStation Classic, right?
Ah, okay, yeah.
Which should have been, in some respects, the easiest slam dunk for Sony of the year.
You'd think, maybe, right?
It still will be in terms of sales because there are a lot of 8-year-olds and 60-year-olds. People are going to buy this stuff for Christmas,
There's been a good blueprint for it with Nintendo's, like, the NES and the SNES that they've been doing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a slightly higher price stocking filler.
Yeah.
For a really rich family.
Jesus, stocking filler?
It's like, what is it, like £100, $100?
That's
like
mental. That?
£90, something like that.
Do you know what I get? A chocolate orange in my stocking.
You're lucky you get a stocking, you're 60 years old.
Yeah, fair enough.
If I was your dad, I'd fill it with coal.
Oh my God.
Well, okay. Then I could fuel my burner.
You've been a very bad boy, Alex.
Oh, let's not.
All right.
ASMR coming soon. Okay, yeah. So, what about the PS Classic?
Well, so first of all, it's been marred in controversy.
Yeah.
And I can't really tell yet whether this is controversy that's just happening in certain parts of the internet. You know, people who are really into the tech side of this stuff.
Yeah.
Doing their deep dives. Whether or not it's going to have an effect on how it actually sells, I don't know. But of course, we all know that there was some controversy about the versions of the game.
The PAL and the NTSC.
Exactly. Like PAL versions of games like Tekken 3. So it was running at 50 hertz and people saying it looked like... like shit, basically.
Yeah.
Then we had the news that when you plugged certain keyboards into the USB ports of the PlayStation Classic and pushed escape, you got access to a weird emulator menu.
Like a developer menu.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where you could, for all intents and purposes, change the versions of these games from PAL to NTSC, which eliminates the entire problem.
It's just kind of bizarre. It's like really like such a head scratcher because why?
If that's the main problem and it was... you could fix it through a menu that's already on the device. Why do it? Anyway, no one knows.
But don't you feel that sometimes this controversy is like it's like an echo chamber, right? Like storm in a teacup. No one actually cares. No one actually realizes.
Right.
Except for the people paid to kind of like review these systems where they have to pick stuff apart.
Yeah.
Like for your average user, probably wouldn't make much of it.
When little Nikki asks his mum to go and buy him a PlayStation Classic for Christmas, she's not going to say, well, it runs in NTSC, Nikki. I'm not getting you that shitty 50 hertz version. How dare you?
What's the issue with the 50 hertz version?
So,
Chris probably knows it better.
From what I can understand, what I can gather, right? PAL versions are 50 hertz instead of 60 hertz.
Yep.
Right? So if you equate that to frame rate, that's about, you know, what, 25 frames per second instead of 30 frames a second, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So what companies did back in the day, because they were kind of lazy, when they were taking... And I'm sure I'm going to be proven wrong in the comments. Do leave a comment. Instead of like reversioning it for PAL, all they would do was just basically like do like a, I don't even know how to explain it. Basically do like a little bit of a workaround, converting the NTSC to the PAL. And what happens is then instead of being playing the game at 100% speed, it actually plays the game at like 83.85% speed or something.
Right, okay.
So it seems a bit slowed down. But the thing is, like, no one really kind of caught on to it because obviously if you're in a PAL region, you don't know any better. If you're in an NTSC region, you don't know the difference.
Sure.
But as soon as you get given a console where, hey, both versions are on there and now we're on TVs that are like all 60 hertz minimum.
Yeah, the PAL NTSC thing doesn't really exist anymore.
So people are getting their hands on it. They're playing So NTSC people are getting their hands on it, playing the PAL versions. They're like, this is a lot slower than I thought it was. Why does it feel like trash? Why does it feel so unresponsive? But anyway, long story short,
there are probably also a lot of people who are playing it saying, oh, this is great. It's Tekken 3. It's nostalgia. Then they watch the Digital Foundry video and they're like, well, I should be outraged about this. I'm a consumer and I'm outraged.
I want my money back.
So they're not different versions of the game, though, because obviously back in the day, the PAL and NTSC versions are. No, but different versions is it? So like when we used to play the SNES, they were different. The American version of the game had differences.
Right,
to the
same content,
of the
I guess.
Yeah. Same content, different version. Okay, right.
But if you believe this, Jonesy, that's not even the thing I wanted to talk about today.
Right.
Because IGN were reporting this morning here in the UK, that essentially there's been a code dump from the emulator that's actually running inside the PlayStation Classic. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand the technical details, but somewhere within this code that they've been able to dump, there's been evidence of 36 games.
36 games? So 36. It comes with 20?
It comes with 20.
Wow.
36
that you
games.
Can unlock.
No.
Oh.
No. 36 games that appear to have, at one point or another, been tested on the console and not included in the
considered,
final version.
I guess, right?
Yeah, considered. And like maybe they were tested to see how well they run, we don't know. But you think about how much people were up in arms about the final list of the games that were on it.
There were some glaring errors.
Cool Borders 2 and Wild Arms and things like that. So a list has come out, the likes of Crash Bandicoot 1 and 2, Colin McRae Rally, I'm being selective here, Driver, Gran Turismo, Klonoa, Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver, Medal of Honor, Medieval, Parappa the Rapper, Parasite Eve, Ridge Racer, Silent Hill, Tomb Raider 1 and 2, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. These are all on
big
a list
games,
of 36 games that were tested for this console and not included, but Cool Borders 2 was.
Man. Imagine if that was the list of games that came with it. It probably would have been selling better than it is.
Imagine if it had 56 games on it.
Yeah.
But I think one of the reasons has got to be licensing, right? They might have tested these games. They might have seen how they work. They go to license it.
Yeah, maybe.
And no, they're not going to be able to sell, like, get Crash Bandicoot on it because they've just done the Crash Bandicoot.
But they
trilogy.
Are Crash Bandicoot. Well, I know Activision's
but they don't
wanna, kind
they
of
don't
wanna,
not with the licensing, but they don't want to eat their own market. They've already got a more expensive version of Crash Bandicoot out there.
Then you get into the really dirty, cynical stuff. I'm like, oh, we'll get him to buy the Crash and the Spyro.
But surely that's what they do, right?
Well, yeah, that is what they do.
That's
yeah.
part of business.
But there are some that are not getting, like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. Maybe the reason for that is because of like music licensing issues.
Yeah, that's sure. Licensing will be a big part, I'm sure.
It's just a big misstep for Sony in a generation where they've pretty much done everything right to a degree. I mean, except for maybe the cross-platform stuff. This is just like it's a bit of a head scratcher as to like how they kind of. Fluff this one.
Because it should be an easy win, right?
You said at the beginning, yeah, it's something that could have been such a simple, easy, good thing. It's become so muddy.
I want to say, I think I'm right in saying that I called it. I called that this was not going to do very well.
I think I did as well. I think we all did, actually. I think we said this is a bit odd.
Because it doesn't fit. To me, it didn't feel like in the same stable as the NES and the SNES.
No.
It doesn't quite fit. It's too new to be regarded in the same way. And it's the first jump from 2D to 3D gaming in a big way.
Yeah.
And you've already got 3D
games
level
now. Up on it.
I think we did. Yeah.
But I don't think the problem's there. No. I don't think the problem's in the core, like the games they could have chosen from the jump from 2D to 3D. I just think they made silly mistakes.
Yeah. Right, maybe, yeah.
Like, just make it NTSC versions for NTSC.
That is weird.
And then just like put the right games on
it. Put the right games. Yeah. Give a DualShock controller.
Yeah, exactly. You got Metal Gear Solid on there, but you gave us a controller with no analog sticks and no rumble. We can't do the Psycho Mantis thing anymore. Do you know what I used to do every time Psycho Mantis did the thing?
No. What did you... No.
Well, rumble feels good in certain places, okay? You can get a lot of usage out of a rumble pack.
Did you stick it up your...
Look, Chris.
Yeah. Okay.
You told me we can't be filthy. So I can't tell you what I did.
Okay.
With that dual shot, but I can tell you that Psycho Mantis and me got along great back in the day.
And on
he knew my saves and he knew what I liked.
slight aside, but I had my first go on the classic NES and SNES.
I thought you were going to say something completely different, right?
I had my first go on a... No.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to bring it back to the games.
On a controller.
All right. So, you tried out the NES and the SNES classics?
Both. Yeah,
solid little consoles, yeah.
I love picking up that SNES controller.
Oh, so nice, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, except that the cable's 2 inches long.
To be fair, I was already sitting like 3 inches from the screen on the floor. So
just like you
really
did
matter.
As a child, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, that was the best. Yeah. All right, you got a new story for us?
I do have a new story. I've even made notes in my Unicorn Deadpool...
Geek.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Rasheen just said
not,
geek.
Not
of course, you've got
a notepad. It has to be a unicorn Deadpool one.
Indeed,
of course.
Don't,
it is.
You find Deadpool unironically funny, don't you?
Yes, I do. I really like Deadpool. I genuinely like Deadpool.
You went. You've got a Deadpool pin on.
Yeah.
You don't have a Deadpool T-shirt on, but you do own one.
I've got four.
He's got four.
I had one on yesterday.
Jonesy's the only person on the planet. When the Detective Pikachu trailer came out, he said, "Yes, Ryan Reynolds, he's back."
I genuinely did. I love Ryan Reynolds. I don't know what it is.
Did
anything
I miss that
he's in,
voice?
I'm like, that film was awful, except Ryan Reynolds. He was great.
Wow. So my favorite bit about Ryan Reynolds is when he does that voice and tells that joke. You know that same one he does 100 times in every Deadpool movie. This is the part where shut the fuck up.
This guy's got the right idea.
You break the fourth wall, again. I'll break your nose, you fucking gimp.
Wow,
get off
okay.
My, get
what
off
Deadpool
the screen.
Does.
All right. Moving on to your news item.
No
there,
love.
I've got a sense of humor. That's what I've got.
All right, come on, let's go.
So this news story is effectively about Steam being attacked. Not attacked, really.
Oh, this is a great one.
Battered from all sides. As we've often thought over the years, Steam are sort of going to have their market share taken away from them.
Resting on their laurels is what they're even fucking doing.
But hey, if you're doing something right, I think maybe you don't need to change it. And they've been doing it right for a long time.
But if you don't change it, then it's just what you're doing is you're allowing other people to look at it.
Absolutely.
And
say, the world changes around you, right?
Yeah.
So one of the major issues they've got is that four of the biggest titles this year, so FIFA 19, Red Dead, COD, and Fortnite, biggest selling games of the year, and none of them obviously are available
on
Steam.
You didn't mention Fallout 76.
I did not. It's not one of them. Actually, I will reference that as well, because that is not on Steam either.
It's not.
Yeah.
So
there's games on their own launches, or
they've got their own launches, or in the case of something like Fortnite, Epic are obviously making their own store.
Yeah.
So that's not just having their own launch; they're having their own platform, right? And they want to get other people, other devs, to launch their titles on their store. And one of the ways they're doing it is they have a very competitive 88-12 split percentage-wise for the games company,
which is loads better than what Valve's one is with Steam, right?
70-30 Steam is.
Yeah.
So I think the problem Steam have got, like you said, they haven't changed with the times.
Yeah.
They're also a bit of a victim of their own success in that they are so big, everyone goes to them. Everyone launches their PC titles on Steam, in that if you put a new game on there, it's really hard to find. I'm sure you guys have had this. You go to have a look at new stuff, find out what people
are playing. I
guess
unless it's a AAA, it always gets kind of like...
The big games are, always. Yeah. But I think what we're talking about is maybe the mid-size games that are going to look for
I launched a game on Steam and even I couldn't find it in the store.
You know what, what was your game on Steam?
It was an erotic video, or no, erotic kind of... choose your own adventure, let's call it.
Okay.
You played as a strapping young man from England whose name was, let's call him...
Jimmy.
He had a six-pack, great hair, lovely deep blue eyes, and he went on an adventure, started off as a boy, became a man.
Sounds like a great game.
An erotic adventure,
It was 3 minutes long.
Long enough?
Yeah.
Wow, 3 minutes.
And you couldn't even find it on Steam?
Lucky
I couldn't
girl.
Even find it. I typed in Jimmy's Adventure in the search bar and something else
Jimmy's,
came up.
Jimmy's Jizz Adventures.
Jimmy's Jizz. Hey, there wasn't that much jizz involved.
Wow. 3 minutes worth, so.
But so, yeah, I think that going back to the news story. So I think the real issue here is with a number of the companies that are having their own launches of stores, other companies that are having their using their own platform to launch their own games, right? So you got, like we've already said, like Fallout 76 wasn't launched on there. I think EA have got their own store or their
Origin, yeah.
And then you've got the streaming services, like Microsoft and Google's streaming services, which are starting to make people talk again about, is streaming going to be a thing in the future? Is this Netflix style whatever going to happen? The Games Pass on Microsoft is obviously a massive thing. So all of these different areas, all these different things are getting bolstered and new ideas and people coming out of stuff. And it's just sort of taking little bits away from Steam's market at the moment, right? People are doing it. But will it have a big enough effect in the future that actually Steam's not going to be the monolith?
Well, they got to change something because they're getting thumped with that. Because part of that Epic thing is that they also scrapped the 5% fee for using the Unreal Engine.
Ah.
Right? So it's actually,
even more.
It's more of an incentive, but there is a casualty to all of this, right? So obviously, when was it? Beginning of this year, end of last year, Epic closed down Paragon, which was their kind of MOBA-esque title. Okay, and fair enough. I mean, they got Fortnite, which is like a massive kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then what I was reading yesterday is that they are stopping work on the new Unreal tournament that they were working on, right? That I was quite excited about, because I used to be a big fan of Unreal Tournament.
Yeah, me too.
So they've shut that down. It's still available on their storefront, but no longer being developed. They don't give a shit about it. And almost what's happening is they're turning into what Valve became with Steam.
Yep.
Is now they're seeing how much money they can make from one game, which is Fortnite, and potentially what they could make from a storefront.
Yep.
And that's all they're going to focus on. So the thing is that they're probably going to do well short term, but it's at the casualty of, I guess, us the gamers. If that makes any sense, because
gamers unite.
It's just kind of crazy.
I think that there has been a bit of a reaction from Valve, at least, I think, with Steam, in that have you heard that they've changed some of the percentages?
But you know what the threshold is?
It's big. Like, it's big.
We were saying like $10 million,
I think it becomes 75-25.
Yep.
And then at $50 million, it becomes 80-20, which is still not as competitive.
Still not as competitive, and you have to be like a AAA developer to even get close to those numbers.
That's who they're aiming for, right? They're not aiming for the smaller cut, because the people they're losing, like the biggest games of the year, the ones that haven't, you know, have no intention of launching PC versions on Steam. So I think they're trying to capture those games.
Exactly. But any game that launches on an Unreal Engine, like, why wouldn't you then just go with
the
Epic launcher?
Do you really think? I know Jonesy talked about issues with visibility and the way that Steam surfaces new games and independent games. Do you really think if you're making an indie game right now that the idea of, okay, 18%, it's quite a lot, but do you really think you're sitting there saying, actually, fuck Steam, I'm not putting my... Everyone's still going to put their game on Steam.
Oh, it's going to be on Steam, it's going to be on Steam, it's going to be on itch.io, it's going to be on like... Yeah. It's going to be on everything.
I think this is the thing, right? Why would you go for exclusivity on a smaller platform when you want to get to as many eyeballs as possible and you're going to go to Steam?
You're getting a bigger cut of a smaller pie.
Yes.
You know, absolutely. Not as many people are going to go to Epic Store and start spending money on it just because Epic are giving more money to developers.
Until the split of the market is more favorable for Epic or, you know, these other stores. Although, and I think to that point, there is another thing that Steam have done, or Valve have done, is that, I didn't realize this, apparently in the past, right, if you wanted to report on how well your game's done on Steam, you had to ask permission from Valve in order to report that information, right? You had to go to they've got rid of that clause now, so you don't have to, because what they've in the past, they've tried to control the images of the Steam store. What they're doing now is going, no, all of you go out there and talk about how many sales you've done. We want everyone to know how big Steam is compared to all these other places, so that the smaller people come along and go, oh, this pie is 100 million people big, this pie is 10 million, so I'm not going to Epic.
I feel kind of bad for Gaben though, right? Like, they've just launched Artifact. Like, they haven't released a game in like 6 years. They're like, hell yeah, we've just released a game. We're feeling pretty good about ourselves. Like, hey guys, we're back in the game.
But at
business. The
same time, if it only takes like, and let's say it is like an 88-12 split to be profitable as a company that has a store and hosts games and, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And you've rested and you've sat there at 70-30.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you haven't made games.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you've been working on games behind the scenes, but you haven't released anything. I don't really feel sorry for Valve during all this.
It's what I said at the beginning. They're resting on their laurels.
They've done nothing for a long time now.
Yeah.
That said, Epic are taking a huge risk going after a company that is at least partly run by a man with such a huge knife collection.
I would be scared. I would be scared for sure.
True.
You don't know when you're going to wake up and see Gabe Newell in the corner of your room with a knife in one hand, and he's doing that thing where you wear a t-shirt but no trousers and no pants.
Like, the worst one.
Like Winnie the Pooh. Imagine Gabe Newell standing in the corner of your room. It would be like a sequel to Halloween, but it's Gabe Newell's the new Mike Myers.
Hey, some people might like that kind of kink.
But this is win-win, right? Because either Steam get more competitive and we get better games and more developed, blah, blah, whatever, or none of it works. Steam becomes a shadow of its former self.
Yeah.
And they release Half-Life 3.
Ah, Anarchist Jones over here.
Oh. He had to mention it. Yeah. Drop the H-bomb in the first podcast. H-bomb.
All right, look, well, because there's nothing we can talk about Half-Life 3, I'm going to move on to my news story.
Do it.
All right. Hit us.
So, I don't know if you guys have been seeing, but there is this artiste, shall we say, a rapper.
Ooh, I don't know who you're talking about.
Soldier Boy.
Soldier Boy, open this.
Okay, so
song I know of.
So what
from like 20 years ago.
So what Soldier Boy has done is he's gone onto like AliExpress, which is like a version of like Alibaba in China, found these like low budget kind of like handheld emulator consoles,
yeah,
that kind of look like PSPs or whatever. And he's rebranded them as Soldier Game.
So there's Soldier Game, which I realized when I visited his store, I think it's like soldierwatch.com if you're interested. He sells a knockoff Apple Watch. He sells a knockoff smartphone, a knockoff handheld console, and a knockoff home console, all branded with the word soldier then something. And it's all
what?
It's all it's knockoff crazy. Chinese
it's
shit.
It's so crazy. Someone found the listings on AliExpress and is like, what the hell is...
Is this good stuff or is this bad stuff?
No.
It's like average bad Chinese
like
stuff.
He is, but a lot of what the Chinese is actually pretty
no.
darn
yeah,
good.
Sure, no,
these are like made in bulk, but essentially right. emulators.
So you could probably buy it for half the price from a different website.
You can.
It would just be untagged.
You can.
And
yeah, and
I'll send you a link.
And it is right. like half the price as well.
And it's identical. He uses the same images to promote it. Like you scroll through the images of the product on his site. It's the same stuff the Chinese sites are using. 3,000 plus game on device
well,
or whatever they say.
Hasn't even written his own copy.
Yeah. Can I take... But then he's been on Twitter saying like, oh, to the first person that bought this, you've made my dreams come true. It's like, oh, come on, dude.
But keep talking, but can I read some of the tweets
if I find them? Okay. But in the meantime, like, you know what I love about this story is just kind of the self-destructive nature of some of these like people in the music industry specifically, but like any kind of celeb, right, where they kind of fade into obscurity and then they're like, oh man, I need something to get back on top.
I'm gonna trade on my limited notoriety.
Yeah exactly, like fucking Will.i.am and his stupid little smartwatch as well. Like, come on, dude.
If you it's such a weird thing, right? Because he doesn't know anything, I'm assuming, about electronics. He's a musician, but he doesn't know about, you know, all this sort of games console. I'm assuming. I could be really wrong, and if I am, I apologize, Soldier Boy, definitely a listener. But why get into that area?
It's just so bizarre. It's like such...
Well, like clothes, hats, like merch, that sort of stuff, right?
But guys, I
Soldier
love it.
Soldier Boy is quite a cool like brand name, if you like.
No, it's not.
It's really not.
It could
dude.
Be.
It would be in its own, but everyone associates it with a one-hit wonder about coming on a girl's back from 15 years ago.
No, but I mean, as a brand, it could be quite a cool brand. Like, forget him. Forget the rapping. Like, you could make quite a cool brand out of it.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But with this games console...
But
like,
I love this, right? And call me a dick if you want. But I just love seeing the fucking crash and burn of this kind of stuff.
Oh.
And like people just losing their fucking minds. Are you thinking?
Let me tell you, the Twitter, what he's been saying about this is gold. So the one that Chris referenced, to the first person that purchased my console, you just brought tears to my eyes. Tears of joy. Tears of joy.
Does he make that caveat? Tears of joy.
Tears of joy, exclamation mark. Thank you so much for your support. I promise to continue my tech company and evolve it in the gaming world. And then this is the best bit. I'm just a kid with a dream.
He's probably 45.
That's some
now.
Martin Luther King shit. Like,
yeah, how old is Soldier Boy? Come on, do
probably
some,
far too old.
Do but some there, Googling for
it. But there's still more. So he's doing the classic thing of, you know, when you fuck up and loads of people send you tweets of support, so all you do is retweet the people who are on your side to really skew the thing.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So be like, bro, you are taking off. I was expecting the shit to be hella pricey. He's already doubled the price from the Chinese website.
How nice of him.
And the sad thing is, you know, people will buy it though, right?
You do. He also said earlier, not about consoles, just a good one, Dragon Ball Z is lit, no cap.
I mean, he's not
wrong. Hold on.
So he's not completely delusional.
What is no cap?
It's non-capitals.
Ooh.
No cap. I don't know. Hold on. What's no cap?
He did an emoji of an actual baseball cap, so maybe it's a reference to, maybe if you take your baseball cap off, you're being serious in the rap game.
Roche, what does
Roche,
no cap
you know
mean?
Rap. What does no, what
You're
does
the
no
cool
cap
one.
Mean?
You're the cool one. I don't know what no cap means.
Roche is claiming to not know what no cap means.
She definitely knows.
She's Googling it right now. Yeah, she actually is. He also said, wow, made $250,000 from our game console and it's only been less than 24 hours since release.
$250,000?
Yes.
No capping is like they're not lying.
They're not lying.
He's not
okay,
lying.
So hold on.
Because if you yell it, you're lying.
Guys, $250,000. I'm just going to take this opportunity.
ATG are now launching their own games console. If you want to get on our store, it's ATGTVGamesConsole.com.
Guys, I think it's time for one of our sponsors. Hello, guys. Welcome to All Time Gaming's game console.
and you can buy it for a third of the price
online. Oh, my God.
What?
I don't mean to derail this podcast, but Soldier Boy is at the time of recording live tweeting about... So I think Shopify were hosting his site and they were managing all the transactions and stuff like that. He is... having a back and forth, it seems like, with Shopify support. Oh. He says, I can't believe Shopify support is hating on me right now. Is it because I'm black? Then he goes, I'll see y'all in court, Shopify. Fuck Shopify. I use another system, y'all, because I'm making millions, y'all, some haters.
Wow.
I love Twitter arguments. I've done it a couple of times. My Nintendo Switch did not arrive on the day I ordered it.
Settle in, children, because it's going to be a while.
No, just a quick one. Okay, and I really wanted to play it. Of course, you order a games console. You want to play that thing.
Yeah.
It didn't arrive on the day I wanted it. DPD was supposed to be delivering it, and everything was fine. Everything was seemingly okay. Then I ended up getting a notification on my phone on the app because I had their app. Oh, we're going to deliver it. So, and then I was like, oh, brilliant, it's been delivered. They didn't deliver it. Yeah. I'd asked them to deliver it to my neighbor. It never arrived. The app was then not updated for 3 days. And I was trying to get hold of them to say, like, what's going on? Couldn't get hold of them. No reply. Guarantee reply within 90 minutes. No reply. Bastards. Ended up tweeting at Curry's and being like, dudes, DPD are making you look bad. Like, where's my stuff? They sorted it out within like 3 hours and I had a delivery the next day. So a lot of respect for Curry's. DPD, I'm sure you were just, you know, busy, fell through the cracks. I had to take it to Twitter to get his stuff sorted out.
You got to take it public.
You have.
You got to take it public. They can't stand the public humiliation.
Well, look,
they
guys,
don't reply. DPD don't reply on Twitter now because I think all the hate they were getting.
Okay. Well, look, guys, I'm glad that you brought up Twitter because that's going to lead us neatly into our next little segment here.
Here we go.
Can I take this aside to just point out that I'm eating a Toblerone and it's very enjoyable.
Can you give us a cheeky ASMR munch? Just one for all the fans out there.
Just a few munches.
I don't think anyone will like it.
Going close. Going tight.
Oh, sorry, that is some Swiss action right there.
Crispy, if anything. All right, so, yes, suck on this.
You might be the only person who likes Toblerones outside of divorced dads.
Maybe I'm just
the size of that Toblerone.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in Heathrow Airport.
Do you guys want some Toblerone?
No.
No.
All right, so, the next section is a comment section. So, I reached out to our multitude of followers on Twitter. And
all three of them.
Yeah, all three of them, and Facebook as well. And we also asked our...
And that's just our mums.
Yeah. We also asked our Patreons to kind of give us their hot takes or any questions that they want answered. And yeah, we'll just go through a bit of a comment section. So starting off, we have the man, the myth, the legend, Johnny Babb.
JB in the house.
JB, John Babb. You may know him from such things as Football Daily.
Yeah.
And Euro Football Daily.
Loves to be a host.
I digress?
Yeah. No.
Really quickly. Let him digress.
No. Really quickly.
Quickly.
Chris, I want to hear the digressions.
You know the, you may know him from such things. What's the guy's name from Simpsons? Troy McClure.
Yes. Yeah.
That guy was murdered in his own bed by his wife.
Yeah. Oh, Jonesy, bring it back. Yeah, full heart. Jonesy, get over it. It happened 20 years ago.
I only figured
he was in news radio and then he just wasn't there anymore.
I only found this out recently because I was watching
Jingle. May I digress? For this.
I was watching Jingle. But hold on, because it's Christmas related and it's December.
Oh, no.
I was watching Jingle All the Way and I was that dude from Simpsons. And then I looked him up and it was like his wife shot him because he said she was like a drug addict again or something and he was going to leave her. So she killed him.
Yeah. What's that got to do with John Babb?
Because he said...
But seriously, though, just reminded me of another one.
Oh, here we go.
Did you ever see The 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yeah.
You know the shop he works at? There are two Indian actors.
Yeah.
There's the older guy who with the grey beard.
The rusty trombone.
Exactly. The rusty trombone guy.
That went a bit Mexican.
And then there's the other guy, the younger, taller guy, who's always really annoyed. Yeah. Like, there's that one scene where Steve Carell and Paul Rudd's character are like having a cigarette on the balcony. He comes out and he gets annoyed at them and he storms off inside. That guy stabbed someone with a knife.
What? Are they dead?
He killed someone with a knife.
He killed them?
I think now he's in jail because he stabbed someone. Word of advice to all of you listeners. Don't go stabbing your loved ones.
55 years later. Can we get back to these comments?
Sorry, yes.
So John Babb, the man, the myth, the legend, wants to know, will there ever be a boy born who can swim faster than a shark? Which is a nice Office reference. So
yes.
Go on, clarify.
Well...
With genetic modification.
Does that count?
Yeah, because you used to be born. Not naturally, but yes, with genetic modification.
Mm,
Think of the guy who was the swimmer. What's his name? Michael Phelps?
Oscar Pistorius.
Phelps.
Not that
one. Did you see? Yeah, they had that documentary, Phelps versus Shark.
Who won?
All they need to do is genetically modify
him,
a swimmer, repeatedly until they are, I don't know, their feet are five times the size.
Can I just take this opportunity to talk about Phelps versus Shark, because this was one of the greatest television events history. All right?
Please do.
So, if you're presented with a show called Phelps versus Shark,
yes,
and then the whole thing is like Michael Phelps is going to swim against the shark, and we're going to see who's the fastest.
Obviously,
right?
The shark.
Obviously,
Right? It's like when they do man versus cheetah.
Well,
but also you kind of think, okay, so I want to see Phelps and a shark and a fucking pistol goes off and then they gun it towards some post, right?
It can make it even more exciting.
Yeah.
Phelps has got a bit of red bloody meat strapped to one of his feet and then they release the shark after him. You'd soon find out who was faster, wouldn't you?
But the whole point about this documentary is such trash, honestly. It was like, so they filmed Phelps and how fast he can swim. And then separately, they filmed the shark, how fast the shark can swim. Obviously, the shark can swim faster.
I bet it was by
a
lot.
It was like an hour documentary about fucking Discovery Channel or something. Come on, get a grip.
They had the similar one with the rugby player. I can't remember who he plays for. Anyway, but he's bloody fast. I think he's a winger. And they were racing him against a cheetah. They did a bit of forced perspective where they had a camera in front of them both. And so they made it look like they were level.
Yeah.
But when they had the side shot, they basically said they staggered them because the guy, the cheetah doesn't get up to full speed until it's covered a certain amount of distance. And a human gets up to full speed much quicker. So they said, so we're only racing the full speed distance. So what this ended up being was the cheetah had to run like double the distance. and it blew the dude out the water still, like by a ridiculous amount. Because a cheetah can run at 70 miles an hour and a human can't. What a stupid
show.
But
one day, a human can.
Yeah, thanks to CRISPR.
Genetic modification.
Thanks to those crazy Asian scientists.
Here's an idea. CRISPR, walk definitely. Up behind Michael Phelps and just bing, a strand of his hair. Put it in a test tube, raise a baby from that strand of hair, but do a genetic modification on the computer, make its arms twice as long. Think about it.
Jamie's understanding of test tube babies and genetic modification.
Well, we learned about it in science. It's like if you go to the doctors and they say, actually, I would like a genetically modified baby, please. And that's when they say, do you want it to have...
From the twink from
and they
the
go,
hair.
Blonde hair or brown hair?
Blonde hair, right?
Or blonde hair or brown hair. Cool. And then you choose. And that's why it's a bigger controversy in the scientific community right now. Should you be able to choose your child's hair colour?
Did you hear that they've actually CRISPRed the first babies to
what
reduce...
What does CRISPRed mean?
Yeah, that's CRISPR.
Like fried it.
That's the gene editing.
No, CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R.
CRISPR?
Yes.
Sounds like a low-fat brand of potato chip.
Does a bit.
If I had to have a brand of potato chip, I'll call it CRISPR. CRISPR.
Yeah, because your name is Chris.
All right. Anyway, listen. Let's move on to some of these other comments, all right?
I think we answered that one pretty adequately.
Yes, genetic modification. Okay. Zombie Fox wants to know why
name,
I left South Africa, and then he called me a coward, so thanks. And but he did say, for real though, I was surprised to find out you're from SA and would like to know how you experienced it.
I can answer this.
Yes.
Or I should. I should think I should say I have complete respect for why you left South Africa after you told us of the third time there were armed people in your house and you were like, oh, look, there's some more armed people while I'm there in my pants. I'm like, dude, leave. It doesn't sound very safe.
Listen, guys, it's just another day in the city of gold, all right? No, so I grew up in South Africa, obviously, Johannesburg. I am a Greek South African. That's why I refer to myself as African, but I'm also a bit of a Greek there.
Grafrican.
Grafrican, yeah,
Greek.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, the reason why I left, I met a girl.
Oh.
Yes. Oh my God, I just figured something out, right? What? If you go the other way and you go African and Greek, you can get a freak.
A freak. I'm a freak.
I like how you try to plant the seed for a romantic story there and all Jonesy can think about is actually, you put these two words together.
He's a freak.
He's a freak.
Well, yeah. No, so...
What a lucky lady.
Wow, thanks. But yeah, I guess I left South Africa because it didn't seem like much was kind of happening there. It wasn't really the crime that was bothering me that much. Obviously, it's something that you just live with when you're there. It's just another part of living in a way. Mm. But yeah, it wasn't anything specific. It was just moving for more opportunities, I guess, and you know, studying as like a film editor. Yeah, just you know, you can move to the States. You can move to London, or you could move to Australia. So where would you go? It's easy for me to move to England because of my Greek passport. So
well, we're glad you did.
Well, not really, because then Brexit's going to happen, and then I'm going to have to go back to South Africa. So thank you very much.
Yeah, but you've still got like a dual citizenship or something. Do you have that?
Yes, I've got South African and Greek passport, so I could come back as a Commonwealth citizen.
Now we'll keep you. We've got a basement.
Ah, thanks.
We've just
mate.
Started a podcast. Smart we can't you. Go
oh,
now.
I can't go now. I'll get
otherwise
on
the, Jonesy will have to.
I'll
host
get on
it.
The horn to the Queen. Can I stay?
Yeah.
She's German, so no, she's not going to kick off, is she?
But well, yeah, I guess. But yeah, so and then how I experienced South Africa, I loved it. You know what? South Africa's awesome. Joburg is maybe not the easiest place to live, but it's got its charm as well. Jamie, you've been to South Africa before.
I did. I went with my school, and the school told my mum to give me a certain amount of money just so I could, you know, get by and buy food and things like
bribes,
that. No bribes, because I didn't get into any trouble, thank you
very much.
Well,
then you didn't visit the
real
South
Africa.
It was
mostly just, you know, if we went to a restaurant. I made the mistake of, on the first day, spending 80% of my money on Alien versus Predator on DVD.
You were at school like 2 years ago.
Do you know
ago?
What it was? I was told. Long I did the same thing when I went on a school trip to Spain and I bought Saints Row 2 because the man in the shop didn't care how old I was. And I thought, this is a prime opportunity. I was asking my friend Garrett if I could have a bite of his croissant, and that's not, you know, there's nothing weird. I mean it. Every
hey, Garrett,
breakfast.
Can I get a bite of your croissant?
Oh, wow.
Garrett. Shout out Garrett. So yeah, don't trust me with money. Alien vs. Predator, bad movie. South Africa, lovely place though.
There we go.
Yeah, played lots of
what
rugby
about you,
there.
Jersey?
Played
I've
lots
never
of rugby.
Been.
Played lots of rugby.
Now though. We're talking.
I've never been, but my mum cycled across it. She loved it.
Cycled across South Africa?
Yes, the garden route of South Africa.
Oh, yeah, garden route.
Yeah, she does a lot of cycling, and 1 year she went and cycled it, and she had a great time. My granddad told her not to go because she'll get eaten by a lion, but she was fine. No lions ate her. She still is okay in cycling, so happy.
That's weird. I would love to take, like, let's get this podcast to, like, I don't know, some lofty number.
Profitable.
Yeah, some profitability, and then I'll take you guys to South Africa, and we'll do a podcast from the Bundu, Bundu bushes.
If we go, can we go to a Deantwoord concert?
Deantwoord?
I want to see some Deantwoord live.
Hell yeah. I want to go on a safari. I'll get on the phone to Ninja.
I think my in-laws are going to South Africa this year.
Why don't you go with them?
Or next year.
Why don't you go with them?
Nah, they're going. They're having a lovely time.
I will be there in January.
I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not sure when they're going.
Anyway, let's move on.
Another comment.
Robert Vaquera asks when you guys hit 420k subscribers.
That's an if, not a when.
2052. Yeah.
So when you hit 420k subscribers, you should do a weed or psychedelic themed video.
I opt for weed.
Yeah.
What if it was weed slash vaping? Because I feel like that's the hot trend on YouTube right now.
All about it.
Imagine we have a whole setup here of, you know, various juices.
Juice, yeah.
That's what they call them, right? Juice, vape juice.
Yeah. I don't know.
And we'll vape some fat weed clouds or something.
I've got some friends that can sort us out.
Oh, yeah.
I think we could get a few sponsors in for that one as well.
Maybe. Domino's.
Chris made a point the other day, couldn't agree more, that the horrible thing about vaping as opposed to, you know, smoking cigarettes, whenever you're walking behind someone who's vaping, you get a big whiff and you think, that smells fucking amazing. Give me some of that bubble gum.
Yeah. Oh, candy floss. Yes, please.
I might take up vaping.
Yeah, but then you see them just standing outside looking all sad and you're like, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, in the cold, in the rain.
I got a vape. All right. Next one coming in from Shell Shock, and it's Shell like a Chell from Portal, so points for the name, really. Alpha Protocol was the underappreciated gem of the last generation.
That is a big sweeping statement.
I mean, underappreciated maybe, but gem of the last generation, probably not.
The issue I struggled to get past with Alpha Protocol, and this is going to be the interesting test now Obsidian have that Microsoft money.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it was just such a mess. It felt a shame to be playing a game with such interesting ideas and to take that kind of style of an RPG and apply it to something cool, like a modern-day super spy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so many things are about mutants and orcs and things like that. It's like, hey, it's one of those, but it's a spy.
Yeah, like it's too many fantasy and sci-fi stuff and not enough kind of, like, grounded in... I wouldn't say, like, reality, because it's not really reality, but it's more like modern-day kind of settings, right?
Exactly. But to call it, I don't know, underappreciated, maybe a tad? But then again, I feel like people gave it a lot of slack back in the day.
It's not a gem of the last.
I feel that people thought about it exactly what they should think about it. That it was kind of like a buggy mess, but it had some really cool ideas.
Fallout New Vegas in a way. Yeah. Not a mess necessarily, but it was buggy, especially at launch. But it had some of the best ideas that franchise has still ever
seen. It's still such... like anyone who's a Fallout fan are like, they still... anyone will gush over New Vegas. Oh,
literally and figuratively.
Yeah. I preferred 3, I must admit.
Yeah?
Yeah, but you always have to be a contrarian, don't you?
Yeah. It's true. All right, moving on. Nicholas Martin wants to know, what did you and the rest of the crew do for a living before ATG?
That's a good one.
It is a good one because our paths kind of like converged well before ATG. So, Jonesy, why don't you tell us the story? Well, give us the lowdown.
What have I done? I worked in TV for many years, in production, though. So shooting
all right, granddad.
Red carpets and stuff like that for some...
Red carpets, yeah.
TV channels people may have heard of for all different people. Then I did a bit of editing, lots of sort of different things, and ended up doing some online stuff, which is where I met you guys, yeah. Editing YouTube videos.
Yeah.
There you go.
My one's not as interesting because you guys have close to 10 years on me, not to, you know, rub salt in the wounds.
Thanks.
But it is what it is.
I'm sure one day we'll be able to get through a podcast where, you know, we don't get called old.
You old fogey.
Just stop saying old people things, I reckon.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Back in my day when I shot red carpets.
Yeah, all right, why don't you go play with your Tamagotchi or something?
I only had one job before I met you two and started talking about video games some of the time, and that was...
I know what it is. I think it's Blockbuster, wasn't
it? Yeah. Worked at Blockbuster, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Which is a dream job in some respects.
Viva la Blockbuster, whatever you say.
There were about four of us, and it really was just, it did just feel like us four, because our manager at the time was having her third child, and she took a lot of time off.
Fair enough.
All the other dudes, there was a guy called Hari, which he said it was named after the place in India he was conceived. I'm not sure I believe him. But they all just smoked loads of weed, and then you just, I don't know whether I should say this in a public forum, but Blockbuster had a weird thing, and I don't know if lots of stores and retail do this, but every time you do a stock check, for us it was every quarter, there's a certain amount of stuff that's allowed to go missing before anyone raises an eyebrow. And at Blockbuster, a lot of stuff was allowed to go missing before anyone raised an eyebrow. And when you know how much stuff can go missing, and you know who's likely to make it go missing, I never touched anything, but I saw a lot of goings on.
But you ain't no snitch.
Let me put it this way. Hari got fired.
So Hari knew how much could go missing without eyebrows getting raised, but eyebrows were raised and he got fired.
Exactly.
Wow. He cleaned them out.
I never did anything, but it is where I got my monster drinking habit from.
All right, gotcha.
Thanks, Darren, for that
one. Shout out, Monster.
Darren with his ingrown toenail, who could have gone pro at basketball, but he was 5'9". Likely story, Darren.
Wow. And then you started here with us.
Then I started here.
ATG became reality.
The rest is not just history, but it's on the internet for everyone to see.
There we go.
I'll regret that one day.
From my perspective, I guess, I did some work in South Africa, kind of editing TV commercials, editing stuff for cinema. Then I had a job where I was doing a digital conversion for cinema.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool, but it was okay. Not as cool as it sounds. You think like, oh yeah, you know, you'd do the digital conversions for films, so you get to watch the movies and whatever. It's like, nah, it's
and you feel you
feel
close
great.
To it. You feel like you're an important
part
of the process.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. I must be honest. Then did a bit of freelancing. Moved to London. Did a bit of freelancing. Then, you know, started helping out over here with the All Time Family. You know, All Time Tens, All Time Conspiracies. And just settled on All-Time Gaming. So that's how it all went down. And
nice.
Just look at us now.
Well, maybe look at us 2 years ago. That was slightly prettier.
Yeah.
I think because a lot of people don't realize that before gaming, we actually all worked on the All-Time channels, didn't we? So
across
the board.
You still work on All-Time 10s.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do. I'm in them as well, yeah. And I edit some of them and stuff. Jamie's and you were both in All-Time Movies.
Yeah, we were the voice of All-Time Movies at one
presenting,
stage.
But also editing as well.
Yeah.
What else? All time tens, diagonal view.
All time numbers when it wasn't shit.
Yeah.
Jeez. Slander.
Just saying.
We've kind of worked on a lot of stuff together.
Yeah. Yeah. But now we've found our nice niche. So
in some respects, it's a miracle we don't all hate each other yet.
Oh, we kind of do.
We're getting there.
There are days.
We can still sit down at a podcast table.
Hey, listen. We're families. We ride together. We die together.
Yeah.
All right.
The first time we do this podcast with one of us Skyped in because I couldn't be bothered to come and sit down at the table is where you know that we're falling apart.
Guaranteed, it's gonna be Jonesy.
Oh, I'm meant to talk to you about next week.
Oh actually. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. All right. Last question of the day, guys. What this is coming in from Matt Tawi. Now he is a legend because
big up
he found our Patreon before we even officially launched it. Because we'd done it and we forgot that we left it like public.
How do you do that? How do you find it?
I mean, fair play to him taking that leap and giving us a kind of like giving us his patronage without even being sure that it was ours.
Yeah, huge shout out, Matt Tawi.
He will forever be a legend of the channel, and he wants to know from us.
So was he the first ever patron? He must have been the first ever
patron. He is the first ever.
He found it before we told anyone about it.
Ledge.
We made it just to sort of see it and kind of start sharing ideas, and he found it at that stage.
Yeah, and to be fair to him, he kind of like forced our hand in kind of actually launching it. So.
Yeah, because now we actually have to give him something in return. Yeah, we have to start making videos for these.
He's number one.
Anyway, he wants to know, good old Matt Tarby wants to know, what games do all of you like to play when you need to unwind? So I guess it's not necessarily, hey, what's the latest AAA? It's more like, what is that go-to game when you just want to de-stress and whatever? So, I'll start off. Obviously, I love my Dota, but it's not a game that I would play when I want to de-stress.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I think for me, it's got to be some kind of roguelike, which also doesn't make that much sense because that can be quite stressful. But I just like the idea of playing a game that you can run through. You know you're going to die, but that is part of the experience, part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So my go-tos are like Risk of Rain, Enter the Gungeon, Dead Cells is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that you can kind of get, you can get a bit mindless about. It can get a bit frustrating, but it's just something that you can work towards. And then what's nice about roguelikes is like every time you die, there's still kind of like a progression.
Yes.
That keeps on going.
Yeah.
And I think that's quite what I like from kind of like my chill out, unwind kind of games.
Yeah.
What about you, Jamie?
Do you know what? I keep coming back around on the same thing, and it's a little bit unusual because I don't talk about it much on the channel. As a channel, we hardly talk about it at all. But I have a weird thing with sports games.
Hmm.
And a lot of the time when I don't have a main big game on the go, the things I go back to are, the main ones for me are FIFA.
Yeah.
The UFC games now, in the past, the Fight Night games. And then every year or two, I'll invest in an MLB The Show or a Madden NFL and things like that. And I just get weirdly into them. I like to do a career mode. I don't mind the outcome of the results. I like the very slow progression of either if I make a player in something like MLB or as a manager in FIFA.
Yeah.
I come back to that a lot. And also, back in the day when I used to do a bit more gaming on my laptop, I'd like to jump off my PS4, turn the TV off, sort of go to bed, and I'd do things like I play The Sims or Age of Empires 2. RTS games, not particularly relaxing at times, like you said, but sometimes when there's something about them. Yeah, you know when you're familiar enough with the game, you're replaying levels that you know. Hitman Blood Money, I used to do that all the time. Just replay a level I knew really well.
The Hitman games are great for that, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's just replayability. But you also really get into your sim game. So not The Sims, but like Euro Truck Simulator. What was the house renovator?
House Flipper. Which is a game where at the start of the game, you go into other people's houses and you do things like cleaning up rubbish, knocking down walls, repainting.
Wow, what a game.
Until you've saved up enough money to actually buy houses that are going on the cheap, renovate them and sell them on.
It's what Jonesy does.
Yeah, basically Jonesy's free time. You'd love it.
I wouldn't.
Get a VR,
version of that. Nothing worse, like a long weekend of doing some renovation around your house, and then I just want to cool off. Let me switch on House Flipper and do the same thing digitally. It's crazy. So, what about you, Jonesy? What kind of?
I'm a bit different in that. As you guys know, it takes me so long to finish a game when I play it because I play them for a long time.
We've noticed.
Yeah. And I generally play the open world, like expansive games, and I do all the side quests and all the missions. So I generally don't have titles that I go back to. Although, what was I? I played a lot of Ori when it came out. That was
Ori and the Blind Forest.
A bit of that.
That's a great game.
I played
relaxing.
You played that
a bit.
What on
those sorts of games? I think are like not Ori. Fuck.
Here we go. We're witnessing a Jonesy meltdown.
Buckle in, kids. You get ready for the ride.
This is part of the game. Play at home. See if you can figure out what game Jonesy's thinking of. Start describing it.
Hold on. You play like the it's like a manta ray that flies around the sky, and you pick up little red.
Ooray. No one is ever going to have heard of Ooray.
That was chill. That was a nice sort of relaxing game. Where effectively, you just were flying around through clouds, picking up little red gems.
Was that the recent one? That was like an EA or something?
No, it was from a couple of years ago.
It was one that was announced. I think Sony announced it at like a Paris Games Week live stream or something.
O-U-R-E or something.
Yeah.
I thought it was I said Uri. That sort of game, it was like one that you just had floating around on your PlayStation. You didn't, there was no kind of story. Well, there was a bit of story, but nothing that really mattered. It was a bit of a puzzle game where you would, and I just put that on. Because it's so chill, like Sunrunner or Run to the Sun, where it was called.
Oh, yeah.
Similar sort of game where you don't really have to think about it. You just sit there and it's sort of like almost mindless.
Yeah.
Those sort of little indie games I like to jump back
into. You just reminded me of one that I hope will be my next one of those when it's a bit less expensive for what it is.
Yeah.
Tetris Effect.
Oh, yeah. Although I think that would be quite stressful as well.
More like those repetitive, you can just keep going and nothing, even though they might have a bit of story, there's nothing that you've really got to be engaged and go, I can't play anymore because I've lost track of where I am. Yeah. Those sorts of games. I always have one sitting on the side, just ticking away.
I will say, just going back to Artifact, that seems that could be something that I could get into just to chill out. Because it's simple, right? You load it up, you get paired with someone, you play a game. Like, if you win, you lose, who gives a shit? Like, you're just kind of going through the motions for some of it. But it's nice because it keeps a challenge on your brain. And
Yeah.
Right, guys, so let's go into the final section of this podcast. And we just got to rattle through it quickly, I think, because we've been spending a lot of time on it. But Red Dead Redemption Online. Red Dead 2 Online. And just kind of the clusterfuck that it seems to have been with its economy and stability issues.
Well, if I can start.
Go on.
Because since my initial hour, I have played precisely no Red Dead Online.
And is there a reason for that?
I've been back on the main campaign. I'm only still in chapter four. Like, I haven't finished the main story.
Crawling,
yet.
Yeah.
And so it's not something I'm trying to get into. So I know nothing because Jamie, I haven't delved back in.
You've been playing quite a lot of it. I mean, this was something that you wanted to bring up. So let's hear your
thoughts. Yeah, and I feel a little bit silly.
Tuck in on that. Then.
I'm just getting used to being able to grip the mic. It feels a little bit silly to be too harsh on it right now because it's a game mode. It's a part of a game that's going to change and grow and
develop
over time. You look at how much GTA 5 changed and in no way resembles what it looked like at launch. This is going to be much the same. And a lot of the issues are things like right now that can be tweaked easily. The big thing everyone's talking about is the economy.
Yeah.
And you think it's not that big a deal, like you'll just play the missions and if the content's good, but there's something about not being rewarded for the work you're doing that makes it really hard to get motivated to keep doing more.
Slog work, isn't it?
Exactly.
And you're always coming up against someone who has put in that extra kind of slog. To get those good guns, those extra cans of beans and whatever, and, there's like... That's the thing that I find most frustrating about some of these online games. Like, I really felt it with Battlefront, right? Where... In Battlefront, I always used to get one-shotted with these dudes with fucking sniper rifles.
Yeah.
It's like, how many hours have you played with a sniper rifle?
Or jetpacks.
It's the same with this, right? Yep. Because you were telling me that you were playing the game, Jamie, and every 5 seconds, you just get shot in the back of the head.
The first time I established my camp, rolled out into town, I went to Saint-Denis, and I got shot by the first person I saw 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
Like, as in... Went into town, saw a person, he shot me. Respawn, saw a person, shot. Respawn, saw a person,
shot.
Hey,
Wild West, baby.
I had to ride out of the town and say, I'm just going to go and hunt in the wilderness and hope no one finds me because I've never met a non-aggressive player.
Yeah.
And you combine that with the fact that, hey, the Mauser pistol costs $1,000 and I'm getting 3 or 4 for completing a mission.
That's
mental.
I'm not going to say that thing's not going to get there or be fun one day. I want to do a train robbery with you guys one day, but... I don't want to put any more time into it now.
But you think it's almost like a the issue comes from GTA Online, right? Because GTA Online is kind of like this massive, kind of like crazy monster of a thing.
Mm.
And then it kind of seems that like just from the game itself, the single player campaign of it is like it's a lot more slow, a lot steadier.
Yep.
But then you get these people coming onto RDR Online and they're like just want to go fucking ham.
Yeah. And I'm sure Rockstar, to a certain extent, are used to the player base they've got from GTA Online, who, hey, if you're still playing GTA Online in the last 6 months, you're probably putting money into it. Yeah. And so they're used to people who are monetized. You know, when you go on the Red Dead subreddit, you've got two kinds of posts right now you see a lot of. People complaining about the online, and people that are coming up with solutions to how to get around what's wrong with the online, like farming routes, what's worth the most amount of money, how you can make $300 every hour. They think they're fixing a problem. They think they're coming up with a solution. I say you're giving a Rockstar an excuse to keep on with their bullshit.
Yeah.
Rather than
when you're finding ways to work around the bad shit that they've implemented, when you're saying, oh, here's how you make $250 every 30 minutes, and that's your fucking YouTube video, you're saying to Rockstar, actually, it doesn't matter that you made a bad product, I'm going to work around it and I'm going to put up with it.
I love
fuck that.
It's that effectively that thing.
Don't play it.
You can make pounds right now from home. It's that kind of thing, but in the online world.
Right, guys, well, I think that's about all we've got time for today. So I'll tell you what. Let's push people to our social media.
Sure.
All right. So Twitter and Instagram at All Time Gaming TV. Our Facebook is All Time Gaming Official. And obviously our YouTube page is youtube.com/All Time Gaming TV. Loads of content for you to watch. And we will be back hopefully next week with another ATG podcast.
Yes.
Don't forget to comment or leave a 5-star rating, because this is a 5-star show. And we'll catch you.
You've been told.
And we'll catch you next week, guys. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.